with everything that's going on in the world. I mean, you think about wars, hate, discrimination, all lives matter, black lives matter, all these things that are going on. I mean, you open Facebook and it's almost like, you know, political dissension. People cannot talk about politics because they get into arguments, and it's almost like so much stuff going on today in our world. Now, to me, I just want to give you the punchline of this sermon right from the start. When I look at the news, when I look at everything that's going on, you know what I think? That more than ever, we need Jesus Christ to come and rescue us. My dad said to me the other day, it's like, let's just turn the news. Hopefully we hear something positive. Because even in the news, all you hear is like, somebody got killed over there, somebody got robbed, there was a bomb somewhere. And it's just like, what's going on in the world? It's like this secular band, Black Eyed Peas, that says, what's wrong with the world? People living as if they don't have mama. That's what they say in the song. Where's the love, they say. They scream, and you wonder. They recorded that song so many years ago, and you look at what's going on around us, and it's like, really, where is the love? I mean, I just think about it. If we treat each other the way Jesus would want us to treat each other, I think this world would be a better place. If we just did it the Jesus way. You see, people who came in touch with Jesus, their lives were never the same. Their lives were transformed from the inside out. They were changed for the better. And I think that change, that transformation can take place if people would just let Jesus in. We need transformation in our lives. But I think we're seeking in the wrong places. A lot of people are seeking in the wrong places. And where they go, it's not finding fulfillment. Because really, only Jesus can fulfill our lives and give us that hope that Dante reminded us about this morning. But you see, there's still good news, because I believe this world will never be too messed up for God to fix it. This world will never be too cursed for God to bless it. This world will never be so gross that God could not cleanse it. I mean, God has the answer. You see, ultimately, still, many, many years ago, somebody had this song, Jesus is the answer for the world today, and that is so relevant today. Jesus is still the answer to this world. But a lot of people still don't want Jesus, and they wonder what's going on with the world. You know what's going on? That you need Jesus. And when you let Him in, transformation is going to happen. You see, Jesus was a radical teacher. In his days, as a Jewish rabbi, he did things that other rabbis would not do. I mean, some of the religious leaders in Jesus' day, they were like shocked that Jesus Christ would choose to hang out with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes, and just Jesus would allow Himself to be touched by a leper. That was a no-no in that culture. You were a Jewish rabbi, because the moment that a leper is not an animal, it's a people with leprosy. The moment a person infected with that disease touched you, you became impure, which meant you needed to be excommunicated from society. Jesus allowed people with that disease to come and touch Him. And Jesus talking to a woman, that was a no-no in those days too. You remember when the disciples, I love the story in John 4, when the disciples came, they went to buy food, and they came, Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman, and the Bible says that they did not even ask Him anything, because they were just like, really? And Jesus, he broke the cultural mode and pattern of that society. He was a radical teacher. No wonder he got into conflicting issues with the Pharisees and Sadducees, those religious leaders of those days. Those religious leaders would not associate themselves with people who were not like them. They would not hang out with outcasts, tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes. They would not do it. Jesus did. So I'm thinking, like, as Christians, we gotta tune our view of Jesus. We gotta learn that if we are to be Jesus, we are to do the same thing Jesus did. He showed us an example, and we as a church, as believers, we are to follow him. In Luke chapter 5, verse 27 through 31, when Jesus Christ began his public ministry, he began to call out disciples. He was drawing disciples to himself. Remember, most of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. There was one that had a job, and because of his job, he was hated by the community. As a Jewish individual, you have a job, you're working for the enemy, you're working for the Romans, and you're collecting taxes. You know, to be a tax collector in the first century, it wasn't very good, because if you were a Jewish person, because you were working for the Romans, and the Jewish people, what they wanted to do was to kick the Romans out and be in charge themselves. So we got this man named Levi, one of the disciples of Jesus. Jesus calls him, and he was a tax collector. He was right there sitting in his booth collecting taxes. And Jesus comes along and calls him and says, "Follow me." And you know what he did? He got up and just followed Jesus. Right there from the start, you realize that Matthew or Levi had heard about Jesus for a while, because why would you just get up when a stranger comes along and tells you, "Follow me"? But you know what? Jesus, as a radical teacher, his fame had propagated, his fame was spread throughout the regions. Everybody knew about Jesus. You know that everybody wanted to know who this new prophet in Galilee was. Everybody wanted to find out who Jesus was. So if you got your Bibles, in Luke chapter 5, the story where Jesus calls Levi to be one of the 12, one of the apostles. Luke chapter 5. When you start with the whole chapter, you see that it says that, I mean, Luke is telling us, right? Chapter 4 is the temptation of Jesus. And chapter 5, you know, he talks about that he's calling the first disciples as he's going around, walking around, finding disciples. He said, "Follow me, come after me." Then he heals in chapter 5, verse 12, a man with leprosy. And then Luke tells us in verse 27, he says, "After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. 'Follow me,' Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to the sect, complained to his disciples, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' Jesus answered to them, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Jesus, we can call, according to what the Bible teaches us, he was a friend of sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes. And he was a friend to everybody. The question is, a lot of times you might ask, like, why would Jesus call somebody like Levi? Why would Jesus even bother to call somebody who has a job that's hated in the society? Matthew, Levi, as a Jewish individual, you're working for the enemy. So Matthew wasn't liked in that society by other peers, by other Jewish. Because, you know, if you were a tax collector, your best buddies would be tax collectors also. Because, you know, and also to be a tax collector, man, that you were required to collect the amount that the government has set. But also some of the tax collectors would collect more, because that would be their commission. So most tax collectors, to put it simply, they were thieves. Because, you know, they would charge a little extra so that they can pocket that money. So you remember Zacchaeus. Remember, he was a tax collector. He said, you know, "Lord," when his life got changed, he said, "You know, if I have cheated anybody, I'm going to give it back four times." Because he was cheating people. So that's what no wonder people didn't like tax collectors in those days. Besides, we got to pay you the required amount the government set, and not more, because, I mean, so the question is, why would Jesus call somebody like that? I mean, hello, you're calling your disciples. Why would you want a tax collector to be one of the apostles? Any other rabbi would not even bother seeing the tax collector. You will go by maybe shepherds and perhaps fishermen. They're okay, but like a tax collector? That's a no-no in that culture. But Jesus comes along. He says that he was walking. He saw Matthew was sitting at his booth and says, "Hey, follow me." And Matthew just gets up and follows Jesus. Jesus invites everyone to come and follow him. Then Matthew, what he did later, what he did next, he held a great banquet. He had a party in his house. And it says, verse 29, a large crowd of tax collectors and others, that others, their friends, gathered that day because Jesus and the other disciples were there. So he threw a party for Jesus. I mean, that's not all the time you're going to see Jesus or invite him to come to your house. Matthew just so happy. He followed Jesus. Hey, let's go to our house. Let's have this party. And then who came to the party? Matthew's buddies, other tax collectors and sinners. Luke tells us others. The Gospel of Matthew says other tax collectors and sinners came to the party. Jesus Christ is hanging out with sinners. He went to a party where there wasn't church people there. I don't know if you noticed that. And we're learning from the master. You see, he's hanging out because he was radical. Jesus will be a revolutionary teacher today. Calling people. I mean, he would just go where religious people would not go. And they accuse him later on of being even a drunkard because you're hanging out with people who drink. I mean, what are you thinking, Jesus? What is he thinking? He's trying to teach us something here. In those days, you only hang out with people who were like you. You eat with those who are like you. And so Matthew will eat with tax collectors. A prostitute will hang out with prostitutes. Fishermen with fishermen. Like, you will not see diversity because you eat with people who were like you. The same social status, like professional with professionals, poor people with poor. That's how it was. Jesus broke that pattern. And he's hanging out with somebody who wasn't like him. And of course, the complaint is going to arise from the religious leaders of those days. Look at verse 30. For the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belong to their sect, complain to his disciples, to Jesus' disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Why do you hang out with people like those? Now the Pharisees, if you didn't know, you don't know much about the Pharisees, they were the religious group. Their name literally means the righteous ones. I mean, they tend to be righteous the way they clothe themselves and appear. And they always have, you know, that long rope with them. They were the ones who condemned Jesus. You know, they were going from Pontius Pilate to Herod because they wanted to kill Jesus because Jesus went against their practices. And they're complaining. They always try to trap Jesus, to try to make Jesus say something against the government so they can say, aha, got you now. The Pharisees believe in the resurrection. They believed in angels and demons. They also believed that the Messiah was coming. But they did not believe Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And the teachers of the law, they were in charge of the law in the temple and how they worshiped. I mean, they were religious leaders of those days. They complained to the disciples of Jesus, why do you eat and drink with people who are not like you? That's against our culture. Don't you get it? Why do you eat and drink with people who are not like you? Why do you hang out with tax collectors and sinners? You see, it's been 2,000 years since those words were penned. And I think a lot of church people, I mean, sadly to say, but sometimes our best, we don't hang out with people who are not church people. And sometimes we have trouble having friends who are not Christians. And Jesus hang out with tax collectors and sinners. And he had a reason for it. He says it right there when the complaint came from the religious leaders. Why do you do that, Jesus? Why would you hang out with the outcasts, with those people out there? They don't even look like us. They don't even talk like us. Why would you even bother with those people? Jesus bothered with those people because those people need grace too. And the only way that those people get to know Jesus is by Jesus going where they were. Sometimes we as church, as people, we hesitate. We don't want to be seen with those type of people. Those people, whatever those people might be for you. It might be perhaps somebody with a different skin color. It might be perhaps somebody that from a different race. Or it might be somebody from a different social status. Or somebody who struggles with gender identity. We don't want to be seen with those people. We are here and they are there. And then Jesus said, I want them too. And I came for them. I'm gonna go get them. And look at what he did. He hang out with Matthew. Why would you even bother with Matthew? Because Matthew's life mattered to Jesus, and that's why he went. All lives matter to Jesus Christ, and he's after everybody. Because he wants to transform and change their lives from the inside out. Jesus then gives the reason why he befriended sinners. Look at verse 31. Jesus answered to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus has come for everyone because everyone is a sinner. It's not, you know, truly, we don't go to the doctor unless something's wrong with us. Even though sometimes we're supposed to go and do a checkup, but we don't do it because unless something, I got a pain, I got to go check it out. Jesus said, you know, the healthy don't need a doctor, but the sick. And I have come not to call righteous people that already got it all together. I come to call those who are lost, those who are sick, those who are far away from me. I came for them, and Matthew is one of those, and that's why I came. You know, sin is the reason Jesus Christ came to this world. The Bible says that he appeared to do away with sin. So Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. In other words, he came to call everybody because everybody sinned. The Bible says we all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. In other words, then he came for me too and you and the whole world. Because he wants to transform, he wants to save us, to transform our lives from sinners into saints, from death into life, from darkness into light. That's what the Bible calls when we make the transition from not being a Christian to a Christian. It says that we made a transition from darkness into light. And the Bible says, if anybody is in Christ now, he is a what? A new creation. There's something new that happens when we let Jesus Christ come into our hearts. Our lives will never be the same. And I see that through the gospel. Everybody who came in touch with Jesus was never the same. Because he tends to do that. If we really let him come to us, I think that's why sometimes people don't want Jesus to come and intervene, because we just want to know that this area is mine. Thank you, Jesus, but I'm gonna deal with this. And we never experience change because we hold on to certain things. And Jesus said, "Give it to me." He said, "Come to me, all who are weary, and you are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." You want rest? You want peace? Just let me in, he said. Let me show you a different way to live life. Let me show you how to live life to the fullest, he said. Well, a lot of people don't want that. Perhaps they're scared of what Jesus can do in the life. But you see, Zacchaeus' life changed. Peter's life. And Matthew's life. From a tax collector, you're going to get up and leave your job behind because this rabbi said to you, "Follow me." He did. And you know, Levi became one of the apostles. He became Matthew, the one who wrote the gospel according to Matthew. I mean, tell me that his life did not change. I mean, from the inside out. Amazing. He wanted people to tell him about the kingdom of God. That was Matthew's theme throughout his book. The kingdom of God is here. And Jesus Christ inaugurated it. Matthew was never the same. Mary Magdalene was never the same. Lazarus, he was dead and Jesus brought him to life. And I mean, Mary and Martha threw a party for Jesus. Everybody who came in touch with Jesus was never the same. And if you and I come in touch with him today, because he lives in us, we will never be the same. And I think that's why the world needs Jesus desperately, to come and revolutionize and transform their lives from the inside out. He has come to call sinners to repentance, to change. Repentance means like 180, you change, you're transformed. That's what Jesus Christ came, and he's still doing the same thing today, calling sinners to repent. Sin is the reason Jesus Christ came to the world. Sin is the reason he died, because we needed forgiveness. You see, when we talk about like, oh, we have a gun problem in our society, and a racial discrimination problem, and all those other violence, crime, hate, you know, those things are not really the problem. You know what the problem is? It's the same problem we deal in our society. And that's why we don't like each other. And that's why, because sin is the root of all the evil that we have in the world. And perhaps you didn't know that, but sin is the root. Everything flows from sin. I mean, we're dealing with that since the Garden of Eden. Hate. We don't like you for some reason. And you know, and Jesus came to try to show us how we can be at peace with God and with one another. But sin is the problem. All the violence and crime and hate and shooting and bomb. So Jesus befriended sinners to save them and transform them. That's why he will associate with sinners, with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes. That's why he will go where they were at. But I think in churches we have it backward. We invite them to come to us. Instead, we gotta go where they are. Somebody said about the whole fishing analogy, what Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You want to be a great fisherman or woman, fisherwoman? You got to go where the fish are. How are you going to catch fish? There's no fish here, but you're like using all kinds of baits and perhaps the best equipment. You ain't catching nothing. In order to catch fish, you got to go where the fish are. In order to get sinners, but you got to get where they are. Now, mind you, I know some of you are already thinking, but like, you know, like, but that was Jesus. You know, I'm not supposed to do that. Newsflash. He expects his people to do the same. Jesus is no longer walking around the earth physically, but he is through you and I. We are to be Jesus to the world. If you don't go where those sinners are, how will they know his grace, his love, his mercy? Will they see Jesus in you, in me? I was playing a lot of basketball while I was in the DR. And it's interesting because some of you, someday you go there. My dad said that we got the basketball hoop there at the basketball court, and so many of the kids came. And later on, it's interesting, some of the conversations you hear, like, because I knew who, all the people playing with me, I knew who was using drugs and who wouldn't, because sometimes it's like, but, oh, you think, they would say this, you think I stink on my game? But you're using cocaine, you're using drugs, and they start arguing, and it's like, oh, wow, this is, you know, so many things over there. And there was one time that there was this kid. He must have been like 7 years old. He would come to the basketball court. Everybody was making fun of him because his head's bigger than, you know, normal. And they call him, like, I mean, they call him name like Froghead and things like that. And he just, they were doing that in front of me. And for a moment, I got this, I almost laughed because of what they were saying. But I realized, you know, they're bullying this poor kid. One day he's going to be a man. It doesn't matter how big his head is, but one day he's going to grow up and, you know, he's healthy. It's just like, you know, not everybody's as beautiful as you think they are. And when you look at them compared to the other kids, he looks differently. He's different, like those people I'm talking about. And then I thought, but what would Jesus do in that scenario? You know, they were laughing, and then I stopped the laugh because I said, no, it's like, we're not going to make fun of him. He will come, and I would do this purposely. Every time I went to the basketball court, I would go and shake his hand and greet him. If I'm here, I'm to represent Jesus. I should not go with the flow. If everybody's making fun of him, I'm also going to jump in and make fun of him. So I got to break that. And I did, thank God. And, you know, like I said, every time I will go, we play basketball every day after 5 p.m. And the kid would come. Or he would ask me, can I borrow the basketball? I said, yeah, he would go. Because I realized one day he's going to be a man. And I'm going to be old. And I realized so many of those kids, that they might end up in prison tomorrow. Somebody got to come and show him Jesus. Somebody got to come and minister to them. Realize, hang out with you, play ball with you, because you need grace. And I'm here to represent my Christ. And maybe through me, I can show you His love, His mercy and grace. Jesus Christ is no longer walking around, but He's doing it through you and I. Have you seen Him lately? Have you seen Jesus Christ lately? I saw Him that day at the basketball court. This man went to Mexico, and one of the kids, you know, very infected with lice and so many other things, but he was just like, I don't want, you know, I came from America, so I mean, I can give the money, but I just don't want to touch these kids because, you know, I don't want lice in me. And then something hit him because I realized, like, what if that kid is Jesus? Remember when Jesus said in Matthew, like, if you gave somebody, you know, I was sick and you came and visited me, I was in prison and you came and looked after me, I was naked, you clothed me, I needed some compassion and you showed it to me. That hit him while he was in Mexico and realized, like, that's probably Jesus. Because the little kid was like, oppa, he was like, he wanted a piggyback ride. And he's like, I don't know that I want to give you a piggyback ride when you got lice in your head. And then he hit him like, what if that's Jesus? And he's trying to teach me something. And then finally hit him, and then he got the little kid. He came back transformed. And you know, and that kid was the happiest kid in all Mexico that day. Because he got his piggyback ride from this gringo. Imagine what God would do when we're willing to let Him use us for His purposes. And it'll be uncomfortable at times. You see, the church today, we need a tune-up in the attitude toward hanging out with non-believers. We need a tune-up in our attitude hanging out with sinners. I always remember this story, Alex. You were dealing with people in drugs, and you were there, and some of them got to know Christ through you hanging out with them. You were not doing what they were doing, but you were there to show them a different way, a different path. Like I said, so many people looking in the wrong places. And you and I are here to represent our Lord. He says that the healthy don't need a doctor. They do. The sick do. And I came for them. I'm going to go hang out. I'm going to get dirty over there because I want them. I love them that much. They matter to me. And that's why I came. You see, this book entitled Breaking the Discipleship Code, written by David Putman, he said, we're going to have to leave the comfort of our own secure environment and plant our lives among people outside our churches and religious cultures. Doing so is what being missional is all about. Perhaps this begs explains why Jesus' great commission includes going. He never said, let them come to you. Like there was many years ago, there was this ad like, build them and they will come. Jesus' commission is go. Wherever you go, make disciples. Like, may you create an impact where you go. May you be, that's what they use the analogy of salt and light. So many people that they're tasteless. They don't have seasoning in their lives. And through you, God can bring some seasoning. I don't know if you eat anything without salt or seasoning, you know what I mean? Like, I don't like it. But perhaps you want something that, you know, they need that. They need that season. They need that light because their world is dark and they got to be something else better for you. And that's called Jesus. And it's going to be through you and I that they get to know about Him. We're going to have to leave our comfort zone. God did not call us to be comfortable, really. He calls us to be obedient to Him. And wherever life might take us, you and I are to be Christ to those people. Like I said, it's sad in many churches today that we are to represent Jesus, but we are so content in our own little church, in our own culture, and the activities we perform, and we neglect those around us. And I think Jesus will be disappointed in us because we are to represent Him. You know, Peter did that for a while. Peter was racist, in case you didn't know. And Paul had to get in his face. Peter would hang out with the Jewish. He was hanging out with the Gentiles for a while. Then the Jewish people came, and then he was like, "Okay, Gentile, I got my people now." And Paul had to say, "That's wrong, Peter. That's hypocritical. You got two faces. I mean, yeah, you're hanging out with them, but then when your people come, it's like you forget about them." And remember when he did not want to go to Cornelius' house because Cornelius was a Roman centurion? And he even said to Cornelius, you know that is against my law and my culture to even be at your house. And then he said, but God has shown me that I should not call anybody impure, that he wants everybody. And that's why I'm here today. Jesus said, go. He went where the sinners were. With church, we must never forget that we are Jesus to the world. The world must see Jesus in us. Therefore, we must do the Jesus thing. If we hang out with sinners, we're going to hang out with them as well. More lives are changed and transformed when we choose to be Jesus to the world rather than to be the Pharisees and just look at the world from the outside, from our own subculture church. I mean, yeah, this is, we're salt of the earth. We, right now, you and I right here, we are in the soul shaker. We don't accomplish much when we are in the soul shaker. In order for salt to accomplish something, it needs to be poured on this table, whatever it is. In a moment, you're going to be poured out when you leave this place today. You see, it's been 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked into the house of Matthew because he wanted to change his life. He came for him, for people like Matthew, for people who were rejected by society. He came for sinners. Even Paul said, of whom I am the chief. Levi's life was never the same after he knew Jesus. He became one of the 12. He wrote the gospel according to Matthew. The whole life of Jesus, all the way from his birth, life, teaching, death, burial, and resurrection. Matthew did that for us. And he preached in the Jerusalem church. He died as a disciple of Jesus because his life was never the same. You see, Jesus still wants to go where sinners are. Jesus is still seeking to transform and change lives. Like I said, he's no longer walking like he did 2,000 years ago, but he's still here today. You see, Jesus perhaps might be working right now. He might be sitting in church. He might be driving. He might be riding on a bus right now as we speak. Jesus might be flying on a plane as we speak. Jesus goes shopping at secular stores. Jesus go to school when nobody else likes him. How so? Because there's somebody representing Jesus. And wherever you go, you are Jesus to the world. At your job, perhaps you're the only Jesus there. You're working for somebody who is anti-Jesus and you're there working for that particular individual. So that eventually through you, that person might get to know his grace, his love and compassion. Will people see him in you? Will Jesus have an impact through you wherever you go? Because if it's not having an impact on people around you, those ones you play softball with, those ones that you hang out with, that you go to the party, or when they invite you, you are there to, even though you don't have to drink what they drink or do what they do, but you are there to show them a different path, a different way. If we're not causing an impact in the lives that come in touch with us, then we need to pray that everywhere we go, people can see Christ in us, how we operate, how we love the unlovable, how we treat those ones that nobody likes, how we treat them with respect and how we love them. By doing that, we're showing people Jesus to the world. I always pray that whatever I do, wherever I go, that I can become Christ for those around me. Because if we're not praying that prayer, then we need to do what Casting Crown says. He says, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. And I think as we go about the rest of the week, the rest of our life, may we be broken. May our hearts be broken for what breaks the heart of Jesus. You know what breaks the heart of Jesus? People that need him. And there's so many around us, everywhere we go, everywhere we shop, there are people that need Jesus Christ. And you, go into that store. God has a reason for that. to show Jesus, perhaps to the clerk or the person in line, somebody is going to need Christ, and that's why you are there. That's why you're working there in the enemy's territory. That's why you go to different places, because you are to be Christ to the world. Jesus, friend of sinners, break my heart for what breaks yours. And we know what breaks the heart of God. Lost people. He came for them. And he's no longer physically here, but he's spiritually in us. And he has so many representatives now to accomplish a lot. If we just operated by his standard, we just did what he told us to do. Go and hang out with those people that everybody else reject. Show them his love and mercy. It's not going to be comfortable. Remember, he did not call us to be comfortable. I mean, we're comfortable right here because we are in the soul shaking. We got to get out of here. When you're driving, you might meet a driver that needs Jesus desperately, and you're there to show that to him. So, praise team is going to come, and as we sing, may we always remember our hearts need to be broken by the things that break the heart of God. He's after lost peoples, sinners, and we are to hang out with them to show them his love, mercy, and compassion.